open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
All right, greetings, welcome in. It's the Pine Room Podcast, episode 129, if you can believe that. It finally feels like fall outside. The roads are starting to come together here in Wheeling. And you got the four old guys here on the couches and in the chairs here in the Pine Room Studios in beautiful downtown Wheeling. Jeff, myself, Chris, and Coach here with you on a fine midweek day here in Wheeling. Fellas, welcome. And a coach is dressed like for fall. I love it. And Chris has long sleeves on. And that's a good sign. So yeah, I'm very, very happy about this as the 80-degree days are behind us. And I think that makes us all very happy.
Yeah, you know I was announcing the state golf tournament at Ogilvie, which I do every year this morning, which would be on – this would be Tuesday morning. And I was in long sleeves and a long pants, and it was chilly, and it felt good. It was nice and crisp.
That crisp, yeah. That word
oh,
crisp.
Oh, man.
That it's nice. Where do you stay? Where do you actually – do you start at the first hole?
Yeah, well, I send them off one. Nick sends them off 10.
Okay.
So we introduce – you know, tell where they're from. Give a little welcome, tell where they're from, and announce their names, and the people, the kids really like that. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat thing, so – and some of the, I was telling them today, some of those kids can hit a golf ball.
Really?
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Enjoyed it, and the weather was absolutely beautiful.
Did they? Is there any closeness to us on the par three at all? Like, as in, is there any similarities?
One kid topped it real bad, and that sort of made me feel good.
Oh, somebody did flub one?
Yeah, one kid topped it, and it went down right on spot of one. There's a big patch of bad high grass, and he couldn't even find it. It made me feel
what
bad.
A way to start his round.
Oh, right? My God, he had to take at least a nine. It was bad. Ooh, if you start that start. Way, you oh, that would
well,
be
well, that's always nice too when we have our little golf tournament, the World Classic, and you haven't yet teed off, but somebody that went before you hit a really bad one. Like mm-hmm.
Makes you
off.
Feel better.
Yeah, it does.
Does that increase the chances that you're going to hit a good shot? Or just well, not as terrible
you know
as theirs.
What, Matt, right. I think it takes the pressure off.
Right.
The pressure, like, well, okay.
So, well, I couldn't fuck it up that bad.
Right. I'm not the first one to hit a bad shot.
You know, we talk about this group all the time on how supportive we are of each other. It is the one time out of the year, out of the 365 that we hang out, that we're all fucking rooting against each other. And actually, if somebody does good, you're pissed because they did good.
Well, yeah. Jeff, I don't even root against anybody because I'm so bad. It doesn't matter. Champ and I, how we won 5 years ago is just...
Because Champ kept the fucking scorecard.
Yeah.
Man, his head down.
That's exactly the reason why.
Yeah, but we didn't have any of these ringers in the field at that time. And you and Roddy played really bad that day, too. I remember that. You guys played terrible.
We did play really bad.
And we didn't have any of these. We didn't have Weeks. We didn't have Scotty. We didn't have James. I don't think James
no,
played.
No, James wasn't in the first one.
No. So it was just all... You know, just
I tell you what,
the really give, bad, the worst yeah. of the worst.
Yeah, and I got to give if you would pull Scotty aside and be like, he's a golfer, like I'd be lying. Like I'll be honest with you, the man actually plays a decent game of golf.
He does.
Like it's crazy to me.
Yeah, and Weeks is pretty good. Isn't
yeah,
he?
Well, Weeks plays all the time.
Weeks plays all the time.
Yeah,
he plays in high money scrambles
he does,
too.
He like, does. Sure.
With price, like him and you know Neil McCormick's not going to take a bad partner. So when Weeks is getting recruited by him to play in scrambles, you know he's pretty good.
Wait, speaking of Weeks, we were talking about him the other day. I don't know if that was you and I, Jeff, or Matt, you and I, about...
This was Saturday.
Oh, yeah, how Soup travels the world. Soup is a world traveler. Like, he'll drive to South Carolina like you and I drive to Kroger, or he'll just take off to Morgantown or wherever, and it doesn't bother him, and he's gone all the time. And Weeks... What do we call it? Territorial?
Yeah, he's a regional guy. He's more of a regional guy.
Yeah, like he might only go to Wellsburg or down to Powhatan Point or over across within like a 60-mile, but he goes all the time.
All the time.
As much as Soup goes worldwide, he goes regionally.
Yeah, he went up to, are you guys familiar with Breezy Heights?
Well, no, I heard you talking about it.
Yeah, so Breezy Heights, and obviously it's probably, I don't know, maybe 5-7 miles outside past Drover. So, I mean, it's not crazy far, but it's that him and his buddy just chose to go there for lunch.
I thought it was a golf course.
Well, it is. That's the cool part. You can go hit golf balls, but it's got a restaurant. And the restaurant's really good. My wife and I, when we were dating, used to go there all the time, but I haven't been up there. As a matter of fact, I was telling Weeks I have a gift card. It's a really good place to eat. It's kind of just like a mom and pop kind of place.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been there, Matt?
I've not.
I have. Well, what's it called again?
No, Breezy Heights.
Yeah. Is it right? It's right on.
Just right on
27.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Off to the right.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So far above Drover's?
I would say 5-7 because it's in PA.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so it's not crazy, but it's not. Wouldn't be something that you would just choose to say, "Hey, Mark, you want to go grab?"
Right.
Lunch?
Right. Right. Right.
Like we'd probably stick within the Wheeling area, but yeah. But Weeks.
Not Weeks.
He's the regionalized cat. So.
Then he went down to that thing where he spent the night at that big giveaway thing.
Well, like two nights.
He went down in Cambridge, or
is that where
it was? Over in Cambridge.
Not just one night.
Like two nights in a motorhome or something.
Yes.
And he just goes. He's just random people. I think he's got friends.
Well, of course.
Yeah, he's got good friends that he goes with. His one buddy, the real tall fella,
DJ.
That, yeah, DJ hangs with him a lot. But it just who are you going with the Weeks? Oh, this so-and-so.
He'll be at a Mountaineer game. He was at Mountaineer Pitt.
Uh huh.
Which obviously
is he
makes
going
sense.
This week?
Yeah, he's going this week. Yeah, he'll probably be down there. By the time I get to work, he'll be pulling in the 100%. Lot for an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
That's insane. How could you do that?
I don't know. I was just going to say, I couldn't do it.
I can give a really good effort on one, you know, once in a while. I think we all can. Like,
right.
Rise to the occasion. But, man, that would be a tough one. That would be really tough for me to go down there and start drinking it at 7 in the morning and stay conscious till 8 o'clock. And then not even that, just not caring. By the time that game would come, I would have zero interest in it.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Mark, just saying because you're older now, so you wouldn't – I mean, years ago, you'd love that. And, well, you've done it.
Are you talking just about the Mountaineer game?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, absolutely. That would have been heaven. 8 o'clock, leave about 6, 7 in the morning. Absolutely. Camp out, do it all. But now, oh. Nothing.
Sounds
nothing
terrible.
Interests me anymore to go anywhere. Sorg and I were talking the other day, painting. I said, the older you get, the more you just want to stay home.
It is, and actually, it's funny you say that because I was just talking the other day. Like my mother-in-law was at the house when I got home yesterday. I said, as excited as I was, happy to go to New York for the wedding. I was even more happier to be on my way home.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you had a great time.
Great time.
You had a wonderful time. And then you get somewhere and you have a great time in it, but then if it starts to go past that time when you want to leave, it's like, oh, I just want to get home.
100%. I'm done. Yeah.
And I don't know, and I don't mean to be rude about this, but after a while you get tired of being around people.
No doubt.
Well, that's funny you said that because I'll be honest with you. Do you guys to thrive in your work, and obviously Marcus, well, you work more now than you fucking did when you actually worked.
Yeah, but.
I need me time.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
can't
if I
survive
don't,
without
if
it.
If I don't get a little bit of me time, and I love my wife and I love my son, but if I just don't get a little bit of
you.
Me time, I'll be honest, I'm not productive.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I'm not productive.
Now, I will say this. Like the Pine Room, hanging around with guys I like and enjoy, I could hang out all day. Now, that's a different animal for me. But like going somewhere where I'm it's like a little outside of my real good enough, like I'm...
Well,
enough
yeah,
is enough.
Because in that you know what to expect. You've been there. You've done that hundreds of times. As opposed to going on vacation, and you know, unless you have the entire vacation mapped out,
right.
you know, you try to get people to want to go do this. Other people
right,
want to go do
right,
that.
Right.
And I remember, and it was sometime in the summer. I ran into Bryce Mills, and he had just got back from his vacation. He went with his family. May have just been the four of them. I don't know, but he was talking about. The damn thing was too long. He said we were there 7 days.
Oh, it's too.
You know, when we leave, everybody's excited. We get there, we're having a great time. About about the third day, we're really it's getting a little tense, and then by the fourth or fifth day, we're ready to kill each other and we want to go home.
Absolutely. Matt, and so, I think that's why you like Ocean City so much, Matt, because it's just you, right?
Right.
I
mean, it's just me, and it's like a second home. So there's nothing different about it. It's just I'm literally just in a different city, but I have different amenities. But yeah, if you feel like you're at home, you're isolated, you're away from the majority of your wear and tear on your life, your everyday stuff, the grind, and I think another thing that makes you like I don't like going to public places very often, just because the caliber of human being has deteriorated so badly in the recent years. It sounds awful, but it's true, and I don't like going around out in this area at all because I just know too many people, and a lot of times I don't like them, and I'm not afraid to say that. I stay away, but like over in Ocean City, I may know a few people, and that's all I need to know, and it's great. You know, nobody bothers you, and you're on your own pace, and yeah.
And you do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, mentally, it's huge.
Any minute of the day, you do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about appeasing anybody and making somebody happy.
And Jeff's right. You got to have that. Like, you got to have some time where you can just either whatever it is you want to do, watch a TV show, read, it doesn't matter, just being away from human contact. Some people can't survive without it.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I know a lot of people who are friends and family of ours who can't stand to be away from humans. I'm the total opposite.
I'm cool with that. At the end of the day, if you like yourself, and I'm not saying that people that need to be around people don't like themselves, because that's not a fair thing to say, but if you're cool within your own skin, I'm cool with
you. Gotta have balance too.
I'm cool with me. But here's a question though. So you guys are saying that Matt, you said the caliber of person has changed, and you are 1,000% right. But what has changed?
Just like values, home life, the way people are brought up, and then our society glorifies the way a lot of people behave, like assholes on television or social media. So then people think it's cool to act like that, and you know, whether it's younger or even middle-aged people are bigger assholes. Now you get the guys in the giant trucks driving around acting tough, and it's like, you know what, if you want to drive that truck and like whatever, I don't care, but like stop revving your engine and trying to run over people and just acting like a fool. You're not impressing anybody. I don't know if it's scored you any women, but I doubt it. I don't know.
Then I think people, and Chris, I think you'll agree with this, like people have a hard time, which I don't find myself having a hard time, because I think I have very good listening skills, and I'm able to carry on a conversation about a wide variety of topics. Most people that you talk to that like aren't your friends, I'm not talking about you guys, obviously, because it's very easy to have a conversation about many different things, but most people, it's difficult to find topics that are good conversation pieces, because A, they either don't know about it, and I'm not saying I'm a brilliant guy, but I can veer off of the main road and have a conversation, but their general conversation skills to carry on a meaningful conversation are not good.
Oh, that's a great point.
Fair,
that's
statement.
A great
100%.
Point. I often think to myself, what fucking planet did this person come from? They either live on in a cave somewhere. They have no idea about what's like general events of things that might be going on. They have no clue about sports, and there's nothing worse ever than someone who talks to you
and
doesn't know anything about sports, but really believes they know a lot. I'm not talking about like you have different opinions on stuff. I'm talking about like you don't know the basic rules of the game, or any, you know what I'm saying? Like, where you're pronouncing the player's name, we all fuck a name up here and there, but when it's like an egregious one, like you wouldn't know how to pronounce Derek Jeter or something, you know? Like it's bad. It's really tough to talk to people out there, Coach. You're right.
I like sometimes I'll sit with a person and say, literally, if I don't initiate this conversation or keep, we would sit there basically
Nothing,
because the conversation ability of a lot of people is just terrible.
How about some?
I mean, you agree with that?
1,000%. But I think that's such a sad statement. Like,
well, and I think that's what's changed too.
But I think that's a good point. But I think the other thing to piggyback off of that, you get into conversations now, and nobody truly is genuinely concerned about the other person.
Excellent.
Not at all.
Yes, that was going to be my next point.
It is just literally, it's all about them. They throw up on themselves, or they talk about their kids.
I know what you're going to say, Mark.
And here's the thing. you don't want to sit there and talk about Luke or Cheryl.
Fuck
or your
no.
Now, would you at some point in a conversation with somebody maybe have them say, well, how's Luke doing? How's Cheryl doing? How's her job? And you're not going to expand on it and bore the shit out of him. You're just going to get in, give him general information. Luke's doing well. He's a sophomore at West Liberty, taking nursing, doing great. You know, he's working out. Just general information. But there's people that could sit there, and Chris and I talk about this all the time, and never, ever, ever say to you, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Do you guys ever hear that country song? What's it called? A Little Bit About Me.
Toby Keith. I want to talk about me.
And he is making a wonderful point about, you know, okay, we've talked about you. It's not that I want to talk about myself or my family, but I'm tired of hearing about your family and you and what you've done and what your kids have done.
Well, and Mark, I totally agree, but it's different. I guess it depends on your relationship or you're just an acquaintance. Because if you told me about your sons or Jeff went on, we're all pretty damn tight. So if you want to go on and talk, but if I'm just talking to someone, they just say
you don't even really know their
right,
kid.
And I like the and Mark, we've all had this happen. I love the person that will ask about your kid just so you ask about theirs, and their answer is 10 times longer than your answer.
For sure.
And
they really don't give a shit. They just wanted to get it started. I can name some guys that do that. Yeah. And so that I see as being one of the reasons that I don't like to be around people very often, because it's just a constant. Bring it on. Tell me more about your family. I've heard enough. Okay.
But and we always talk about awareness and being tone deaf. Do they not know that they're going on too much?
When a conversation becomes work.
And it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. You're not, it's not a genuine, man, this is fun. Mm-hmm. This is enjoyable. Yeah. It's like, all right, what am I going to say next?
It's like you're playing chess. You got to fucking figure out your next move.
100%.
How am I going to do this without being rude or falling asleep?
You know, and it's funny, you know, and you guys have done it, and I've done it. We've all done it. You see somebody trapped, you rescue them by a phone call or going over and say, hey.
And you know who the traps are.
Right.
And not only that, even before you get stuck, you warn your buddies and say, look, guys, if you see me with this person, if it's going more than 5 minutes, call me.
Right.
One time I just pretended I had a phone call and walked away. My phone didn't even ring.
Right. I've always thought you could fake that and then your phone rings while you're on it.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes, though, the person you're talking to,
they wouldn't even know. They wouldn't even know.
Because they're still talking about themselves.
And Chris, I think it's funny when we try to dump certain people on each
other. When you get somebody stuck or somebody sticks you.
Just for fun, I just try to,
so-and-so said,
hey,
boy,
Chris wants to know about the Steelers, or Chris wants to know about this or that.
And they go right over there.
And they go, you motherfucker, you.
Yeah, that's happening. You put me in that position a few times.
You're famous.
Yeah, you've done
famous for when we're all right there in a conversation.
Then
boom,
gone.
Houdini.
You do that, yeah.
You are
zip out.
You are gone.
Yeah, you might start it, and then we're involved as a three-way, and then you leave us hanging, and we're stuck.
So don't act like you're the innocent victim here, because you've nailed
Chris
me.
Chris has his exit strategy planned ahead of time. Yeah.
I try to do that Sunday. You wanted no parts of that of being saved. On that conversation Sunday about the Steelers.
That's because I drank about 30 beers.
You were still drunk from the night
before. I was, Jeff.
But you know, over the years, and it's funny because I used to be really shy and reserved.
You aren't that anymore.
Being around Mark all these years and just seeing how he'd interact with anybody, and not so much the people we know, but just random people off the streets and – you know, even some.
Uh-oh, Pete.
Alonzo gone.
Pete Alonzo, home run.
Yeah, anyway, Chris, go ahead.
But I've learned, I'm even good people, like people do like to engage in conversation, but I used to be years ago, like, oh, I'm not saying anything to anybody if I don't know him. But now I'm kind of like Coach. Like, he's been a good teacher, even though he wasn't trying to teach observing.
100%.
But yeah. But earlier when you started this, and I was going to say, you said, well, I'm a pretty good listener. I said, yeah, you are. Just your biggest problem is remembering.
Well, yeah. That can be a problem.
Yeah.
And I've always told Job and Jarrett, hey, when you go to someone and you're having, don't make it about you. Engage. Talk to them about themselves. Ask them. People like that. People, when you do that and you show genuine interest in, like, if they went up to an old teacher, how you been? You know, what are you doing? It people will like that, and they'll engage in a good conference, and they'll leave there and say, "Man, that kid really has it going. I mean, he's really got it good. Good social skills." And people hear about that, and I think it goes a long way.
It really does. Well, I'll be honest, they've done a good job with that. You did a good job with that, because I'll be honest, everything you just got done explaining, the boys do a really nice job with that, 100%, without a doubt.
And I think, you know, it would be a lot easier for everybody if you just had better listening and conversation skills. That's the way I look at it. So,
but the knack you have, though, of when you can, the way you can, and I mean, I think we all have that, but you take it to a whole nother level, that you, people are engaged with you and they really feel like you give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, and I will.
That's a cool art, dude. That's a really.
And I will tell you this, and Matt knows this from what I did as a profession for 35 years. It's from being around that special ed kids and, like, just listening and having fun with them in a fun way. And I thought that, you know, that was always really a cool thing to be. And these guys learned that. They would come in and do the same things with them, not making fun of them, not doing having a good time and learning just how to, you know, communicate with them. It was really.
Yep, you could communicate with people of all kinds. That's for sure.
One of the first times, sure. And Mark's, he's not so much, he doesn't do it as much anymore.
Oh, my. Look at this. Another. Oh, I thought he had him.
Oh,
are they going to give that transfer?
Transfer, probably.
Anyway, we're watching the Phillies and the.
Phillies and.
Oh, that's out of the base path. Oh, wow.
Okay, well, anyway, Chris.
But watching you over the years, and one time, years and years ago, we were driving somewhere, and I think we were stopped at a red light or something, and you had your window down, and there was just some degenerate standing there, and you just screamed, "Hey, the war's over." And I was like, why? And that time, but I got to tell this, because when DeCarlo's used to be on the other side of the street, we were there after, and I think it was a Thunderbirds game, and we'd had several drinks that night, and you, that lady was in there sitting on the floor.
This is good.
And you said to her, "Hey, do you play football?"
I mean, I have no idea what. Knowing full well she didn't.
Yeah. "Do you play football?" And I think she responded and said no. And he goes, "Oh, I did. I thought you did. It looks like you block punts with your face."
Well, that's a little out of line there.
I know, but that's not good. And she was just sitting there. I know you think about that. Like, yeah, that was probably pretty mean and out of line.
Yeah. I tell you where, Matt, I learned a lot of those tricks was from Brent. Brent Long. Do you know Brent?
I do not.
You know, well, Brent was my college roommate. He was... He worked with George Jones?
Yeah, well, Steve Warner and then George Jones for a long time, and then Brad.
Yeah, it was
he's a road manager.
Like road manager, merchandise guy for these guys. Real, very, 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 very good friends with Brad Paisley. But anyway, he was my college roommate. Diehard sports fan. I think he still reads.
Oh, yeah, he keeps up on all the Wheeling stuff.
Yeah,
all the time.
Anyway, he was in Steve Warner's group when they used to, like, prank people all the time.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, so I learned a lot of those, like, things from him, like going down the interstate and pointing at someone's tire. Yeah. And
the time.
They pull over.
Because I was there a couple times with you guys, and he had that, was it like a Camaro or Firebird? The three of us were going up Green Tree Hill, and he's honking, and we're all pointing. And that guy took his car off the road immediately.
Like and that's when traffic was that. He yeah. probably took him like an hour to get back into traffic.
Oh,
and of course, we're laughing our ass off. So, and then when he'd always tell someone that he dropped something,
it was usually his comb or his wallet.
And it was rolling. And it was rolling. God turn around, walk backwards, and. Funny stuff, though, but I learned a lot of tricks off him anyway.
It's better to take that somewhere else where you don't know anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you took our group and we went to some kind of sporting event, or we went to a bar where we
fantastic.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, we may get into a fist fight, but besides that, I mean, it would be so much fucking fun.
Fantastic, so absolutely. Fun. And around here now, and as you guys always allude to, there are so many degenerates walking the streets.
Oh my God!
But you have to find in Jubb and Jarrett and I, because I always want to stop and ask him where the Steelers are playing tonight, or is the game still going on the stadium, or. Where's the dog track, or like right in front of the bridge bar? Where's the bridge bar? Something like that, and you have to find that guy in the like that isn't too degenerate, but isn't intelligent enough to know you're jacking him. So you got to find that.
Yeah, like you're walking
the perfect guy.
He's walking into a building and he asks somebody like, "Is this where the football game is?" Right. Like it just and then fucking people answering.
It's unbelievable, and come out and give you this. Incredible answer.
You're going to a High Valley Mall when you ask somebody, and they got to think about it.
Cool.
So, in that time, and you always talk about when that all that person wanted was directions to
University of Charleston.
That guy's still lost. But I had somebody. Oh, this wasn't all that long ago, and I was driving on the interstate, and somebody caught up to me. I had just gotten gas. And they're in the passing lane. They caught up to me. We're going 65, and this person's honking. And I swear to God, it's just like us, what we used to do. He's pointing at my car. I'm like, Jesus, this is karma. And but I didn't
put
my gas cap back on. But right away, I thought he was being a good citizen. Good. But I thought, oh man, is this guy playing a fast one?
That's wonderful.
That's funny stuff. But anyway. I don't know how we made full circle there with where'd we start with that conversation.
You know what? I don't know, but that shit's great though. I absolutely love it. If people take themselves too serious, you know, you need to get over.
We were just talking about people and
people in general.
You wanted to stay home. You didn't like to travel. You know, with soup and weeks traveling, it's just good to get home, and you just don't, you know, want to be on the road.
Soup ever have a quiet night at home?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, to me, I couldn't live, like, without at least a couple hours of life.
Oh, my.
Well, that's the thing with him, though. He jams so much into a short period of time. Like, he tries to do, 36 hours worth of stuff in a 24-hour day.
And he literally books 36 hours of stuff.
Yeah. I said we should have strapped a GoPro to him a couple of times just when he was really 6-8 things in one day. It'd end up.
And then all the driving.
Moving somebody, going to take someone to cheering practice, going to lunch with his mom, going to his grandma's. I mean, all in one day. Getting out to squeeze a workout in. It's amazing. I don't know when his downtime is.
I think he thrives. Like, we thrive.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We,
he does.
We thrive on needing a little bit of me time. He thrives on a completely opposite, which I respect that, too.
Absolutely. Really,
100%.
Yeah. But I think at some point, as we said, he's going to have to.
Well, once he starts having kids,
absolutely.
Like that, I mean, things do change. Well, here's the deal: things force you to change.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
And then if he refuses to change, then there's going to be problems.
There's going to be some problems.
Yeah, I mean, if he's just going to continue to do that, but Matt, you're the one guy that probably doesn't really want to come home when you're on vacation.
No, never. Because it's not the same though. It's different because it's just like my. Home from home. It's a lot. It doesn't have that vibe. Like it's my house. Like it's not. It doesn't feel like you're visiting.
You're away, but
you're not at a hotel. You're not at a.
That's nice.
No, it is nice. And that's why it's just so rewarding.
You know where everything is. You know where all the food is. You know where all
anyone else.
Yeah, and when you need something, you know right where to go to get it.
Yeah, it's just like living in this town, only a lot better.
And you have a routine that.
But the funny part about that is there's a lot of people, because we go to the same place for vacation every year now. We found our spot, And a lot of people look at that as very weird, where I think it's completely opposite. Now, I do respect people that are the world travelers that would like to go visit different spots and stuff like that. But if you work all year long and you only get a week or two to go do stuff, why do you want to plan your time around, okay, I'm going to go to a restaurant, and I'll be honest, it's a crapshoot if it's any good or not.
Exactly.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know what you have. You know what you have, and then you're happy with that spot. And once again, I respect people that look at it differently. Like, well, we're happy, and that's where we want to go.
Absolutely.
Wherever's at. But people want to go see different places, and I see both sides to it. I really do.
Now, the place that you have found and you like, how long have you gone to this place?
Actually, it's kind of new to us. I would say like 4 years, five.
Where
years,
is it? Where Hilton Head?
Yeah, that Kiwa Island.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did. Yeah.
So okay. It's just, and here's the deal. I mean, when he was younger, we did the Virginia beaches, we did the Myrtle beaches, we did the Ocean Cities and stuff, and all that's fun too. Don't get me wrong, but I just think when you find a spot that's nice and you don't have to worry, and you,
absolutely,
I'm just a big
and you're comfortable,
and you're comfortable, and I don't know how you guys feel, man. I don't want to think. Like if I'm gonna get a week off, I don't want to have to think about shit, man.
And if you make the wrong decision and the place you go sucks and you're like pissed about it,
So I mean,
stick to what you know, what you like.
Exactly. So I get where you're coming from, Matt, and good for you.
Well, the only good thing about that now with the internet and everything, and there's so much. It's easier, I guess, to find a good place, or you can read reviews as opposed to 25 years ago when it was a crapshoot.
That's true, though.
And you don't really know anything about it. There's, you couldn't look it up online or read the reviews. But I totally agree with you, though, Jeff. That's why I've gotten so used to Ocean City. I haven't been there, obviously, as much as Matt, but I know where
you're starting to get comfortable to the point where you don't have to think when you go there and worry about where things are and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's something to be said about that. It's just peace of mind.
I don't really even have to refer to the because I have a hard copy of the directions that I've had for years, but I don't have to refer to that. You still put on GPS, but you can go so many different ways. But it's just nice to know And it's still big enough that you could
absolutely.
I could keep going there for another 15 years and not
you'll find
see
there'll be new things
the,
that pop up. So, yep. No
so
doubt.
So on the same note, if you guys Jeff and you say, and I know Matt, you like to go to the same place, Jeff, same place, Chris, you're established. If you guys could have one place though before you leave the earth to go and just have a nice week, where would you go? Besides the place you always go.
That's a good question, man.
Chris, you know of any place?
Ireland.
Okay.
But here's the deal, though. I want to be rich enough where I can pay somebody to take me around and I don't have to think about it.
And you're not going to worry about going into a restaurant or a bar or anything and not worrying about spending a couple $100. You got the money to just go do what you want to do.
Whatever
fun.
It is you want to do. Yeah.
So Ireland, that's a good one. That's sort of on my a little on my radar.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad because I just remember how beautiful it was in 2020 when I went to Argentina and just seeing all the buildings and the architecture and all the churches they had that I got to go into, and I was mesmerized. I actually went to a mass. I celebrated mass in Argentina.
Oh, that's super
cool.
And
it was wonderful. But I think and that wouldn't have to be Ireland, Germany, where is just go somewhere and just where there's a bunch of different pubs and castles
cool.
And just I just love to see the cultures of those places and what it's like. And I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's places here in the States that I would go to, but I think going across
and that's a hard question. It's tough because there's a zillion places you could go that would be incredible. But Germany is where I'd love to go to Germany.
You think you'll pull the trigger ever?
Probably not.
I get that.
Probably never.
But is there one thing that you want to do? There's one thing that you want to do.
I want to go drink in a German tavern with a bunch of German people and hoot and holler and play German music and just have a ball. Just doing it with the Stein.
That would be you at Chevy Chase.
Oh, I think I can. Yeah, right. I'd wear the Lederhosen and everything. I think that'd be unbelievable.
He'd be there within an hour. He'd be the most popular guy.
100%.
I think that'd be so
You got the bloodline for that. So we all do.
Matt, you got any?
I guess my first thing that I would say would be Scotland, maybe. I really like to go there. But a lot of places in Europe. And I'd love to go to Japan sometime, too. But...
Yeah,
chances are me ever doing it, like Jeff said. Like I'd have to be like, I'd have to have a different life than I have now. That's for sure. Just to be able to have the time and just the resources, though, how much money it costs to travel there, and you want to go and you want to make sure you experience everything. So it's going to cost a little bit. So
what would be your ideal soccer match? Like a certain championship or well, World Cup?
Yeah, like I definitely want to go. Like, so when the World Cup comes here in a couple years or 4 years, like I'm hopeful to go to that, at least to go to a game.
That'd be cool.
I'd definitely like to do that. So, but that, I wouldn't say that's, especially on United States soil, it wouldn't, because I mean, these are just shitty football stadiums that, you know, we've been in before, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it'd be cool just to see it. Yeah, I mean, I guess just going somewhere. Probably my idea one would probably be something like a Champions League match in a midweek in Europe somewhere, with Chelsea playing on the road somewhere that was huge, like Bayern Munich or something like that, where it would literally be like watching this playoff baseball game only with more hooligans and stuff, like maybe even like a World Series level game. But
well, and see, that ties into what Mark was saying about being. I can see Mark just going in and say wherever he's at, and that city's soccer team's playing a huge match.
Oh, yeah.
And they're watching, and even if he doesn't really care, he just knows who the teams are.
Oh, he would care, because there'd be betting places everywhere. Okay. You think we have a lot of betting here? Nothing like Europe, not even close.
So he's got, and then they get the game winning goal with and
throwing beer on each other,
and beers are just flying.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That'd be really
cool. A lot of fun.
And just seeing you be drinking out of those big glass mugs or steins.
But I have changed my opinion on one thing, and it's the golf at the hole where they go nuts.
Arizona?
Yeah. What?
16?
What is that, Matt?
Wait, the stadium hole?
Yeah.
The waste management?
Waste management. I thought when that first started, I thought that would really be cool. I said, man, this would... And then it turned into just a free-for-all. Guys jumping in the sand, running out.
Again, guys all about themselves.
Ruining it for the general public. Like, that are just there to have fun and do something unique. You get guys that have to ruin it. And that, to me, I that was like, wow, oh my God, I'd love, now I have no interest in doing that.
You're right, everything you said there. And Matt, I thought the same thing. It's like, so some guy's going to go there, or has gone there, and think, well, I'm going to be the funny guy here.
Right.
And then one guy, you know, it's copycat. And then, yeah, you're right, though. Now it's been ruined. I don't know if they've made some types of changes there.
Well, but I don't know. I've heard they've got to tone it down now.
Oh, man, that one guy getting so drunk he was doing snow angels in a sand trap.
Right, exactly.
Like, I mean, they were getting, like, just destroyed.
Destroyed.
Mud slides and women rolling down hills and just,
I saw all that. And that, to me, that ruins it. That's just jamboree in the hills, like, craziness.
Yes, that's what it was like.
Whereas it was just when you could do it in the stands and throwing the beer, I get that. But throwing like stuff on and then guys running on and ruin it, that just ruined it for me. I lost total.
Even the players were losing their patience.
Absolutely, they were
more than you. They all go into that tournament. If you're signing up to play in that tournament, or you're agreeing to based on your sponsors, you know it's a different element. You're going to get yelling and screaming and hollering.
Yeah, absolutely. And
behavior that you're not normally going to deal with on a golf course. They live with it for once a year. But now it's gotten too much. It's distracting them so badly where they're still out there trying to make I hate to say the word living, but because they're living good. Yeah, but they're trying to make money, especially the marginal guys, to make the cut and all that. And you got all these idiots interrupting play.
And then the fans at that one probably started to go over, cross a line, saying personal things to them and pissing them off. And then it's become
not fun anymore.
Not fun. Now probably saying stupid shit to them that pissed them off, which. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want people doing that.
No. No, even if you're at a baseball game, and I get booing the other team or yelling at him saying you suck or whatever, but when it becomes personal, that's just – and you got to be smarter than that. That's terrible to be – family members or whatever you might say that's just unacceptable. But some of these people, they're just so fucking stupid, and they get drunk, and they think they're funny, and – it ruins it for everybody around them.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better. Had a long day at work and you need something sweet? Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
So, Jeff, and we'll go one sporting event that you want to go to. We sort of hit on a little bit with Matt with soccer.
Oh, wow.
But one sporting event that you could go to that
I guess if I was going to have a combo deal, it would be see Notre Dame in Ireland.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Did you ever consider going this year?
We did not. It was a couple years ago. And then we looked at the thing. I mean, that, you're talking some serious bucks for those packages and stuff.
But wow, would that be neat?
That would be. And then you'd be with a lot of them. I mean, not that it needs to be Americanized, but you'd be with a lot of commonalities of Notre Dame fans.
I would say for you that would be about as good as it gets.
That would be pretty cool. Yes,
that would be really, really cool. Chris, you got any?
Well, it wouldn't be an NFL game.
Does a Super Bowl even interest you to go to?
No. I have more fun at the Naylor games.
Mm-hmm. I would want to. Here's what I would tell you. The game wouldn't interest me, but I think it would be kind of cool to go to the city it's in. And I agree with what you're saying. That might be a little bit different where you go and you maybe go for the weekend, especially if it was like in Vegas or something like that, where you'd have a lot to do and stuff like that. But then once again, you go back to the people element of it, and people would probably be like getting on your nerves and stuff. So I don't know. But to say that that's on my wish list. No, I guess the other thing is if Notre Dame would make it to a national championship, I'd probably.
Like that. So it's not this year, Notre Dame, Florida State.
Yeah. Well, I'm super pumped.
You're going. Luke keeps giving us Florida State each week as a pick.
Yeah, unfortunately, his reverse psychology hasn't worked.
It's not working. So, Chris, where were you going?
I would probably just Game 7 at home for the Penguins.
Okay,
I figured that would be very cool. I mean, they've won how many cups? Five.
Five.
Everyone's been on the road. The game clincher has always been on the road, which is hard to believe. That's really hard to believe. But that is hard to believe.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Every time they've wrapped up the cup, they've won it on the road.
Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit,
Nashville,
San Jose,
yeah. Nashville.
That's incredible.
And I remember the game. It would have been game five. I think the year they played San Jose, and I think they had won two in a row, and they were up three games. Three to one,
yeah.
And they came back to Pittsburgh to clinch it. And there were probably 25,000, maybe more people out in the streets watching on that big screen. And everybody
was waiting
to clinch. And the goddamn Sharks won that game. So then in game six, the Pens won out there. So I just would love to hear how loud the crowd is.
Even if it wasn't game seven, if it was in the finals, a home game would be just incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything like that intensity. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I mean, these baseball games are intense.
Yeah, that's the closest thing, baseball. Yeah.
Well, to me, like baseball and hockey are two sports where, like, every pitch or every rush up the ice, you're on your edge of your seat because, you know, the guy, your guy needs to throw a strike. You know, you got
deflections that can happen. Yeah. You got errors. You got misplayed ball. You got all so many different variables. Whereas in football, you can kind of see it come. In basketball,
Coach does that down at a Naylor game. 2-1. You know, we got a 2-on-1. Oh boy! Yeah. Imagine in the fucking.
No, I love it.
We've all lived that.
You know, a 2-on-1. You know, game seven of a series.
Chris, you remember, and Matt, you remember. I don't know if Jeff, you were into it then, but when the Thunderbirds were in the playoffs that year, that place was packed. Yes. You talk about intense
to be had.
That was that was really, really, really fun. Mm-hmm. That was really neat. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
What about you, Marcus?
Army Navy game.
And actually, Luke and I were talking about this last night. That game may have playoff implications at the end of the year.
Here's the thing, Jeff. When I talked about this today with somebody, I can't remember. I said, Notre Dame's easy schedule doesn't look so easy now.
Mm-mm.
You got to, you play those both of them, right?
Yeah,
we do because we play Army in Yankee Stadium, and then we do play Navy. Yes,
Navy in Ireland, right?
No, it's not Ireland. Sure, I don't think.
No, I don't think. I think it's at your place.
Listen, but I've seen Army play. The Army's good.
Yeah, we better buckle up.
No, for both of them.
Without a doubt.
Navy's got a passing game now.
They do. That
kid
threw for almost 300 yards two weeks.
Yeah, I said the other day, Notre Dame is going to have their hands full with
both of
them.
Which I guess at the end of the day, it's going to help our cause if we can win all those games to help us keep on moving up in the rankings a little bit.
Yeah, but Army-Navy game, my brother's been there just three or four times, and he just said the pageantry is just
would be awesome.
Just the it gives you chills. He said it brings tears to your eyes. Just the game is the game,
yeah, right.
But the pageantry, he said, is just like none other.
Well, if you had any American heart, that would be
absolutely.
If it ever comes back to Baltimore, we should go.
To come to Baltimore, I think, in 3 years or two.
We should.
We should really.
Yeah, that's where
really
I would want to go see it. I don't want to go to Philly. You guys wouldn't want to go.
No, I don't want to go to
Those
Philly.
Those people are idiots. I don't know it would be for that reason, but you're a bunch better off.
We really should look into that.
I think it's back in Philly this
year. Especially if we plan for it.
Will you plan ahead? Plan a year ahead?
Then it wouldn't be as crazy, Jack.
Baltimore's a short drive.
You know, get your tickets early. Get your
That's a great idea. Maybe
Pine Room
kick,
field trip.
We have to kick Vegas out maybe then for Luke's 21st. Maybe that's the trip.
Oh, I think it'd be unbelievable. Now, you know, in the meantime, we've got to get a motor home. That's going to be our next.
Who's going to drive it?
The mystery.
Well, that's
George.
Good question. Yeah,
he was always my first choice too, Jeff. I like that.
So yeah,
I feel safe with him.
Jeff, yeah. I think we look into that.
That would be cool.
I think Matt's looking that up now.
Yeah, well, I think they go to. I want to say it might be in Washington this year.
I think. I think you're right, Matt.
Because I think it was in Boston last year. Let's see. All right, Boston last year, Washington D.C. at FedEx, the Dumpy Field. Baltimore 2025.
What
East Rutherford in
Do they give a date on that, Matt? November
December
what?
The 13th.
It's always the last game of the year.
I'm telling you guys, we ought to put it on our calendar.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Tickets don't come out till about a year ahead of time. Probably.
And we could rent a vehicle and rent a big old van.
Yeah, and that is not a hard trip, and it's a fun city to be at. Where that stadium is and stuff, where it is a great. You don't park and you never have to drive again.
Oh man, I think that'd be fun.
Chris, Mark, I want to go. I'll go ahead, Chris.
No, just when he mentioned Champ driving, I could just imagine.
If you say to George,
George, why don't you drive? And he'd get pissed. Say,
I got to do everything. I got to do everything.
Anyway, go ahead, Jeff.
I want to bring back to something you said. You said earlier back to vacations, and you were saying that now, you know, you can go online and get all the reviews, and you're at least a little bit more educated as a person to make decisions on where you go places now. Mm. I remember we used to go to Florida a lot as a kid, and my dad was a planner. There's a question at the end of this. My dad was pretty much a planner, but there was a lot of Florida trips, and my dad did not have a hotel. And it was just back in that day of like, really, you weren't calling to get reservations. It was just you kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You'd go on.
Absolutely.
On the oceanfront and you'd go place to place. Yeah. And if they were booked.
Look for the vacancy sign.
Do you guys used to do that? I mean, I was a pup.
Not me.
Well, because you were born.
Well, but my dad, anywhere my dad has ever went in his entire life, he has everything planned out to the minute. Mark can tell you that. Chris knows.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, and Uncle Tim, your brother, he loves going on trips with my dad because he said, Jim Watson just tells me I got 15 minutes here. I got a half an hour here. He said, I love it. He said, it keeps my wife on schedule when we're going shopping.
It's nice,
for some people, it's good. But for me, that is another reason why I like going to Ocean City by myself for a while. And I love having people come too, like in various parts of the trip. But I never knew what a real vacation was because my dad had everything scripted out, like beyond. So, no, I've never experienced what you're talking about.
The spontaneity of it. Jeff, you get back to what you were saying. We're talking about Jim Watson. And I remember we were going to a race and we were at Ocean City. We were going the next day to
Dover.
And, you know, Jim had most of everything, but we were trying to arrange how many coolers we were going to take. And Jim's going around the room and surveying everybody. And like, Chris, how many beers do you think you could drink tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to be 66 degrees out, Chris. How many do you drink on a cloud-covered day?
And it's like, well, I wanted to say, well, Jim, I guess it depends on how many I have tonight. But, I mean, that's just how precise he was on all that with – you know, making sure, well, if we don't have to take an extra cooler, let's not do that.
That'll lighten the load. We'll have more room for this and that. And saying, oh.
But you need one of those guys, though. I can appreciate that. But, I mean, I agree. I don't know how structured I want to be on vacation at the end of the day because your life is structured. But I do remember that, man. I remember, like, you pull in late or whatever and, like, you would, like, you'd my dad would, like, oh, they're filled up, Jeffrey. I'm like, we're on to the on next one.
Absolutely. We'd do the same thing. And our big vacation was Pittsburgh. We would go to Pittsburgh. We'd go to a Pirate game, go to Kennywood, and go to the zoo. And that was – and if he could find a motel with a – a hotel or motel.
Jubb will be yelling at you.
A motel or a hotel with a swimming pool, we thought – my sister Kim and I thought we were in heaven. Just to have a swimming pool at a motel was unbelievable.
But you know what the cool part about that statement is, Mark, is simplicity.
My friend. God, it's all it was.
Truly. And you know what, at the end of the day, I think back to our first part of this conversation, unfortunately, everything, and I sometimes tell you about the Pine Room, and it's not that I don't appreciate everything you do for us and stuff like that, but I feel bad because there's a lot of pressure on you and how you try to make it so special that some days I just think it would be nice for you to be like, fuck it. We're not doing nothing. We're ordering pizza from Pizza Express, and it's a
no
simple
prepping,
day.
It's just
no
simple,
prepping. Yeah. It's just a get together and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, that's a lot of work. When you're planning the way you do, it's a lot of work.
But I will say this: I absolutely love it. Honestly, I do it, and I it would make me not love it if we did just the random,
just the basic.
It would. I would be not. Is comfortable.
And I get that. No, that's not a knock by no means. It's not a
knock. No, I get it. I get it 100%. But I.
What do you mean, Mark? If it's
I've never said, oh my God, we got to. Actually, I'm like depressed that we're not having this week and next week.
For various reasons, right? The weddings.
But Chris, what I'm saying is if like I just walked out at 10 till 12 with nothing rolled up thing and no snacks or nothing out and. I would be.
Yeah, you probably feel weird about
it. I wouldn't feel like good. Whereas when I'm out there at 9 o'clock or so, getting he's out.
Yeah,
he's out.
On the back.
Yeah, they might look at that too. He might get in. But anyway,
Starling.
I never bothers me. And Sunday when I have to clean up, I never say, oh my God.
Well, you know what? Then that tells me that you don't consider that work.
It's not. Oh God, it's not. Oh.
You like it, you probably like it when you go out. Like, well, it wouldn't be this Saturday, but if you did and you went out and it's a nice crisp morning and you're dressed the way you are now and the sun's out and you just got to do whatever you got to do. You know that's not work. If you love,
no,
it like
it's
that,
not work. It's not one bit work, and just it for. Your friends to be there having fun and enjoying it just makes me happy.
Well, I'll be honest. It's always a great Saturday.
But the thing that always seems to make your happiness go away is
well,
the results of your wagers.
Yeah. I heard it was a bad weekend, Jeff.
It was a real bloodbath,
huh?
You had some people were mentioning your names for some bad.
Bad.
Saturday, you were bad, huh?
I'll be honest. I've been bad all college football, though. I haven't had a winning ticket yet. I have not, and I'm a ridiculous gambler, meaning as in I think that I can put together a 12-team parlay because I just think I'm a genius from week to week. Right. So it's my own fault, but I've been, as they say, the gamblers, I've been very close where I've only lost one of them or whatever, but yeah, it was a bad week across the board.
Oh, boy, yeah. from beginning to end.
Actually, you just guys will love this. So Weekly and I went in on some bets later on in the night.
That's what I heard. Weeks rode your coattails a minute.
7:30, and he Venmo'd me the money, and obviously I was fucked up at that time, so I wasn't even worried about the money aspect. But he goes, when I woke up the next day and I looked at my Venmo account, actually probably when I was getting ready to send you the $10 on what we did two different bets. So he sent me the 330 money, and I think it was for the title was Degenerate Gamblers. And then the best part, the 730 title was Not Sure.
Right. Why?
Not sure.
It should have been why. Yeah, man, it was not a good.
Why me?
It was not a good weekend. It just, I was awful. I don't ever think I've gotten beat around that bad.
Well, Nick was up in the corner early.
Oh yeah, when he goes in the corner, it's not good.
It spelled disaster early for him.
That's when you know that.
That's a good indicator.
And I heard he had a tree game too.
He did have a tree game.
And that didn't work out. No, that didn't work out.
That was the over.
Yeah, Kansas.
And you know what really made me laugh? I was there. I didn't get there till about 6:15, and probably no later than I don't know, 6:30 or 6:45 before that Michigan game, Trey Saunders yelled over to me, "Hey, who you like in a Michigan game?" And I don't know, he must have thought I knew. But
probably the first thing you said is, "Who are they playing?"
and Mark or someone said, "Wait, why are you asking him?" But I think he wanted me to say Michigan. When he was Michigan.
He just wants reassured.
That's all he wanted.
Right.
That's too funny.
But Jubb did say that on the show, on the radio yesterday. It did seem like somebody had passed away after that Michigan loss. Like everybody got solemn and quiet. You guys, it must have been a lot of money on that game. But
Christian, you said it too from last Sunday. I don't know the scores of the later games till the next morning. I mean, I might watch them.
A little foggy about
but
what
I
happened.
Wake up and I don't. Oh, geez, what'd they do? I have no idea. And then, oh, that happened.
Where you look at your betting account and you're like, oh,
Lord.
You know right away.
Sometimes, Matt, I close my eyes.
Me too.
I
do the same exact thing. I'll cover it up, and then I'll go to my bet tickets and I'll look and, all right. It might not be as bad as I thought. And then you're looking at it. Like, okay.
Well, the one good thing, and I'll say this, I believe for all of us, we all bet within our means.
Oh, 100%.
We do.
So nobody's like missing a car payment.
Oh, Jesus. Or
like some other guys we know might have a problem with that.
Yeah. Right. You know, you don't wake up, you lost, you got beat around, but you know you're not going to have to not eat or
sell your kidney.
Find a way to and the other thing I don't think any of us do, we don't chase. I literally don't chase. I know when I get cold, I back down.
You better back down. Doubling down and
no, I never do that. And I'm glad that I don't.
Those people make me uncomfortable.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't like being around people like that.
Yeah, and
telling me about it like they're down this and like they need this to cover their rent. I don't like hearing that in my industry. It's not fun because I mean obviously if it's a customer you're supposed to have some intervention with them. But so on, just in social circles you'll hear people that'll say that stuff to you and it's like, oh boy, maybe this isn't what you should be doing here.
Yeah, and it's my problem is I bet way too many games.
Well, drinking and then you go down the list and you want them all. Yeah, no, betting way too many games is the
worst
death
thing
of us all. But and drinking when you gamble. You can't. You cannot win when
it's
you drink.
Horrible.
If you were to sit there and watch these games without drinking and play, I bet you would do pretty well.
But we're all absolute. Matt, you and I said it all along. If we would just take our best two or three picks on a Saturday, we would. Well, what did you say? What were you telling me that you did the other day?
Oh, I did because I wasn't able to make it to Pine Room. I had projects at my parents, so I wasn't able to come up. I bet three games the whole day, and I went 3-0 because I love Navy, and I love the over in that game, and then I really like California against my Miami team.
Yeah,
and I bet three games, and I was 3-0, and that was it.
You'd have bet 33 and gone about 10-23.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you're drinking, and then it's like, oh, somebody's got a great pick, and you don't want to be the one that's not on it, and it never fucking works.
It never works.
We're throwing around those 8-leg parlays, and here we go, and so and so. Boy, Guilty. I really, really like this team. Like, you're never right. None of us are.
I tell you another, when it never works out for you, is you really like one, and you go a little bit over the top, little bit without your never hits.
No.
Ever.
No, like you double up on it.
Say, I'll never do that again.
I don't know if you're going to remember this. I'm glad you guys brought up Nick's 10 star when he ran around the tree. Because if you remember, it got loud in the Pine Room that day, too, because there was a good bit of people. And I hushed the crowd because nobody was paying attention to Nick. And it was so funny because Nick doesn't get nervous usually about anything. But when all eyes became on Nick at that time, his voice started shuddering. He got a little tight in front of the crowd.
And then suddenly he comes up with this big speech. It's incredible.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
The speeches
are amazing.
Yeah,
good stuff, man.
But
great stuff.
It is.
Well, Mark, when you talk about gambling and alcohol and drinking, how did that go when you did online poker?
You talk about a crock that just works against you. Oh my Lord.
I've never done it.
No, online blackjack.
I've never done it.
No, don't. It's
oh, it was blackjack you played.
Blackjack. Okay. Yeah, I don't play poker. Blackjack. Oh. But I'd play like a dollar hand or something and you hit a three or four and It was bad. Yeah, no, that never works, Chris. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I know you were pretty.
I will say this. I'm just glad, honestly, I'm just glad, and you guys too, that I never got into the machines.
Yeah.
I never got into those machines that you see. When Matt, you see it over there.
Dangerous.
I mean, people take their paychecks and go to these what are they called?
Little parlors.
Yeah.
And blow it all, thinking they can double their money or.
It's incredible.
It is bad.
Couldn't fathom it. Really couldn't fathom it.
Oh, geez, always, yeah. So I'm glad I never got into that. So I never will.
I don't understand them.
I don't want to understand them. I don't think
most people do. They're just hitting a button.
Nah, it's just random.
Just hitting a button.
And that over there, I don't know how you handle that. I guess you just become oblivious to it.
Numb to it.
Matt, do you see a lot of people over there that'll place bets on whatever that you know probably shouldn't be doing it? I mean, as far as
or
maybe you see it more on machines or something.
Well, for machines, I mean, that's not really my area, right. But yeah, I mean, I would say, just from making an educated guess or an educated assumption, yeah, I think there's probably a lot of those people. Mm-hmm. But a lot of seniors, it's stunned how many people of advanced age play the machines.
Is the one thing that amazes you about your job is the guys that come up and think they know. Think they know how to beat the man.
I've yet to meet one person that is actually what I would consider to be like a danger or threat or a sharp player.
No,
not one of them. And the ones that tell you they're sharp are the ones that probably are the least sharp.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And so many people think they're so smart.
And Mark, I know how you always love the guy that tells you how much he wins.
Oh, my goodness.
How much he invested or how much he put
in. Certain guys that I could name that show me their phone or show me their ticket or show when they win, but boy oh boy. I don't ever see those ones when they lose.
Never,
so they must never lose. I don't ever see them lose. So
just like in fantasy football.
Right.
Hey, I beat someone. Like, who cares?
Lord in heaven.
Fuck. Exactly. Or they think they actually their GM of the year because they put in the right people.
Right.
I'm sure there's probably guys that take that so seriously that think that they can probably run an NFL run off.
Well, I'm not certain that they couldn't because you see what's going on out there right now.
That's a good point, dude.
I mean, look at Robert Saleh, your boy, Chris.
Yeah.
And the Browns and all these other teams, the Jacksonville. I mean, if they get swept in London, that guy's gone. Peterson will be staying over there. He'll never come.
They're
back.
Winless, right?
No, they
won. That's right. They just beat the Colts.
I like the guy that sits at the bar with his phone just following fantasy.
With his fantasy
the entire day.
Yeah.
The whole day.
And he's cheering
from
on
1 o'clock till the end of the 4:30 games, just on his phone, looking at probably his $5 fantasy league.
There's people that play that shit for free. You believe that?
For free.
I hate fantasy football. I would never play it for free. It is not fun. It's miserable. So it's somewhat of an investment. You're trying to win a little bit of money, but you don't enjoy it. Like last night, I did not enjoy. I was sweating out fantasy.
Another home run for the Mets. Upper Decker.
Winker.
I tell you what, they've hit Nola around a little bit here today.
Two nothing Mets.
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Last night I was miserable. I don't even like watching the NFL anyway, but the Chiefs, I know most people hate them, but they don't bother me because I like the way they run offense. Like, I like watching Mahomes play. I know a lot of people don't like him, but it's a fun variety of football, in my opinion. So I was watching the game and I'm sweating out these fantasy leagues and I'm like, I absolutely hate this. Like, it actually made me, I stayed up an extra half an hour to see if I was going to make it and have a chance of winning when I really don't want to and I don't care, but it was bothering me so badly. And I hate that.
And you staying up isn't going to make one bit of difference.
No. Normally, I try to go to bed, but I was close enough to where I could know the outcome by the time I went to sleep. So I stayed up a little bit later. And then, of course, I'm like this morning, I'm like, fuck, I'm tired. Like, I'm more tired than usual, like, because of that stupid fantasy football.
I enjoy it, but I remember our good friend Brad. One time we were sitting, I think at the vets were, and he was showing me on his phone his NBA fantasy team.
Oh, good.
On ESPN.
Come on, Brad.
And then I asked him, I said, well, whatever. Okay, that looks like a good team. I said, well, what's the winning? He said, no, it's free. Like, Brad, you wasted all that time even if it was like a $20 league. I mean,
oh, my God.
That's funny. You know, he he showed me the whole roster. But coach, I want to ask you something. When you call, and you did this a lot, but you would call, hey, give me a score on that game. Now you know that the game started at 1 and it's like 25-2. What's the score?
Wait, okay. Calling you, who?
You, like, when you used to call me or Matt or whatever.
Oh, before scores were so readily available. Okay. Yeah.
But, it like, you know, you know that the game started at 1, so you're calling it 1:30. Okay, it's 7.
Nothing matters till about 4:45 anyway, right?
Right. But then it was like, well, who's got the ball?
Where
how
I got it?
Time how much
and
time?
Where at? Like, what does that have to do with anything? No. I just, like.
Dumb.
I mean, I understand you want the score. That's fine.
If you get excited about NFL betting at 2:30 on a one, you're nuts.
Now, what was the score last night's game?
26-13.
So it stayed under, and Chiefs stayed covered.
Yeah. Chiefs covered. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So
you know what that means? You were sober last night. You spit that shit off.
I did.
Just like that. Oh, I know we've kept this very light, but I do want to bring up one rogue situation real quick before we get out of here.
I want to get angry. Let's go.
All right. Yeah. Not so much.
No, angry. I thought we were supposed to be positive.
We were positive for an hour and 15 minutes.
That's good enough.
I guess I'm finding it very hard to believe that right now that these poor people that have lived in this hurricane rage. My. And it's coming out now that our lovely presidency is giving these people $750 to rebuild their life, and knowing that the fact of the matter that we're just sending millions and billions.
Yeah, it's.
Can you imagine? I don't think any. We've all been blessed where we have not had to live through something like that.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine being on the receiving end of that, where you know that
almost want to say, keep it. I don't want it.
Like, I feel so bad for these people, yes. Man. It is just a bitter pill to swallow. I can't even fathom it. And how, once again, you know, we don't take care of our own, and we're so willing to just cut a check to somewhere else outside the country. And the worst part about it, most of these people are very probably working class people that they're paying into the money that's going overseas as opposed to staying in the backyard. No, I just, what do you guys think about that?
And then
that?
You got the illegals taking all the money. They're giving more to the illegals and housing them in better places and helping them out. And they're not even citizens. They have no rights in this country. They don't deserve any protection on their constitution. They don't deserve any federal money. And it is criminal. And honestly, the entire United States ought to have a class action lawsuit against the United States government for the money and the misspending that they've had, which will never happen because there's obviously going to be somebody that's going to be compromising that whole thing, and it'll never be able to happen. But yeah, you're right, Jeff, it's terrible. We're giving all this money to these countries that hate us. They want to destroy us. I mean, it's sickening. But I don't know how we stop it. I mean, what do you do to stop it? I mean, even when Trump was in there, I mean, we were too nice with a lot of those nations. I mean, Saudi Arabia, and he's got deals with them, and I don't like that. I don't think we should give anybody anything. We've done our jobs across the world to be humanitarians and try to help people, and I'm not saying that you can't go and provide food and aid, and you're helping people with issues in Africa and things that we've done. I'm cool with it, but you should not be giving them pallets full of fucking cash ever. For them to do what they choose, no. You want to give them food, you want to give them aid, you want to give them first aid, all that kind of stuff, I'm cool with that. But not cash. You cannot give them money, because you know what that is? That's coming back to the people that are killing our citizens. And not to mention, you're shortchanging the people in the Carolinas, and then now it's going to be in Florida. And here we go with another natural disaster, and the government does zero to help these people. Zero.
Jeff, you're right. Some of these people are going to have nothing.
Nothing,
because they're not going to get anything for the home that they may have already paid off. All their belongings, all their assets, gone. And we're going to give them 700. They should get the value of whatever they lost.
In 100%.
The value.
Yeah, it should be government subsidized. They bailed out auto dealers, manufacturers, which they had no reason to do. Give the money to the people.
$300,000. If they got $200,000 in a house, $100,000.
How many insurance companies think are going bankrupt because of that?
Give them that instead of $2 billion over to both.
Yeah,
both
fucking Ukraine and Iran, who hates us beyond imagination.
Yeah. I agree, Jeff. It's a bad, bad, bad situation.
Then we're going to have people go by the millions and line up and vote for Kamala Harris because they don't pay attention.
And actually, it's a good point, Matt, and I'll give it as much as I can equivalent to our day-to-day. It's like giving the homeless guy on the corner $5 knowing he's going to go buy a
bottle
instead of going to McDonald's. If
he's like you say,
something.
You like to give them food because you know at least that's what they're spent. You're getting the money's being used for something that can help them.
That's exactly right. But it blows me away, and I feel bad. I agree, Matt. I think there's just got to be a good time. My dad used to always say, you got to take care of home before.
Absolutely.
And like it used to piss him off when he sat in the church pew or whatever the case might be. And all they did was talk about money and this and that. And my dad gave a lot of money to the church. But at the end of the day, if money was a little bit tight, it was, you know, we're keeping it, you know,
right.
Table Rock Lane before we're giving to the church.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. And it's just so sad right now that we have Americans suffering.
Oh.
And obviously.
No aid.
No aid. And
these agencies were set up to help for this kind of stuff.
How's FEMA
and they're
fucking
abandoned.
Broke.
And every single time this happens, it's the director's under fire, rightfully so.
Yeah.
When are we ever going to get one that's out ahead of things, that's saying, you know what, we have the plan ready. We're ready to go. Here's the action plan.
That's a good point,
but
Matt.
You're hamstrung, of course, you're appointed by a president who may or may not care. And if it's not an election year, they care even less, which is surprising to me. But I told Chris, I haven't verified this myself, so I don't know this to be 100% true. But it sounds like a lot of these counties that were destroyed in the areas down in the Carolinas were like a lot of them were Trump counties. Now, I know Asheville wasn't, but there's different aid going to the counties based on who people voted for. That is fucking wrong. If
oh,
that's
wow.
Happening. And that's part of the thing. It's like almost like they don't want them to be back up and running by election time because North Carolina's kind of in play a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be a state that Trump wins, but, you know, if he's missing out on 300,000 voters because these people have no precincts and they're more worried about survival than they are getting to the polling station, then you know what? Maybe it goes to her. I don't know. I hope that isn't true. But nothing would surprise me.
But
the
then,
way the
but
life
then they'd
is.
Make it difficult on those people to vote.
Correct.
They,
yeah, absolutely. Be like, well, no, well, they're not allowed to do mail-in ballots. You can't do it. Only our people are allowed to. The dead people can.
Right.
And it's fucking wrong, man.
And you talk about these illegals. I remember I brought that up last year when they had switched that Army Navy game to Foxborough, and all those people that had reservations for hotels, they were canceled because they housed all these illegals.
Fucking illegals.
They threw they canceled all the reservations and. Stuff them full with illegals.
I can't wait. If Trump wins, that'll be the greatest thing ever. He deports all his motherfuckers. Get them the fuck out of here. If they want to apply for asylum, fine. Mm-hmm. We'll welcome them, but they got to do it the right way.
Yep.
Fuck them until then. Yeah. And they're killing our people. They're maiming them. They're murdering them. They're raping them. And it just keeps happening day after day after day. And it's just not right. And those people should be shot. They don't deserve any rights in this country. They have no rights.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah, I just thought I'd ask.
Oh, good. good way to end. Yes.
Yes. All right.
Chris, anything to wrap us up?
No, good luck to the Mountaineers on Saturday.
Oh,
the
only reason I didn't expect that.
Well, no, because I don't know, was it podcast or radio show?
Let's go, Mountaineers.
When we brought up about the coaches and the coach speak and the cliches, last night, I happened to have on the what's it called Sportsline with Tony Creedy, and they had a Neil Brown. I don't know if it was recorded or he was there live. And I swear to God, he was just kind of giving a rundown on Iowa State. And you'd have thought they had the best player at every position, and they're welcome.
Neil Brown drives me nuts.
It was just the same old thing.
Neil Brown drives me nuts.
That any coach would probably say. And again, I don't want to get into all the different cliches that we can make fun of, but it was like, Jesus Christ, fucking Iowa State's going to murder West Virginia if they're good at all these positions in defense and offense, special teams. I mean, according to Neil Brown, there's no negatives on Iowa State.
He drives me nuts. He drives me. I can't stand his press conferences. Oh, I can't stand him.
He drives me crazy. Anyway, but
yeah.
Anyway, no, that was good.
All right.
We have a different perspective on things.
All right, that'll wrap up episode 129, Pine Room Podcast, here on a nice and cool October day. We will see you next week. Don't forget to check us out on the watchdognetwork.com for our regular radio shows Tuesday and Friday. Of course, Monday we're on for an hour, but Tuesday with our variety show from 12 to 3, and then, of course, our Football Fridays now 2 to 5. And that will be followed by high school football on the Watchdog Network. Coach will be in action down at Fairmont Senior as Wheeling Park travels down there. On Friday night, Wheeling Central hosts Steubenville Central, and John Marshall is in action at home against Kaiser. So you can listen to all those games, watchdognetwork.com, on Friday. Listen to the pregame with Jeff and Chris and myself and Jubb getting it ready to send out to the games with the various broadcast teams. We've had a really good time. Coach, really quickly, you guys have done a great job on the Watchdog Network with the high school football. It's been really fun for all of us to be involved.
Yeah, don't forget Matt's Bettor's Last Stand. You want winners. Tune in after our show at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6. Bettor's Last Stand gives you all kind of winners. So tune into that. But it's been a great time, and I think we got a great team going.
So much fun.
And I think it's going to get better and better, folks, because we got some great ideas for down the road, not only in football but some other sports. And, you know, hopefully we can keep the sponsorships up and keep teaming up with people. It's been really fun. Everybody's done amazing work, amazing. And for a bunch of guys who were – sitting around just drinking beer, watching football, decided to do this. I think we've done pretty well.
We got a little bit of talent, I guess.
We got a little bit.
Well, check us out, yep. WatchdogNetwork.com for all the radio stuff each and every week in our Football Friday shows, again, 2 to 5 on the Watchdog, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentleman's Club. Don't forget the Brownie House, yesbrownies.com. Order your pumpkin spice brownie today. Get ready for Halloween. You can get 20% off your order, promo code Pine Room. That'll do it for us in the studio, episode 129, signing off. We'll see you next week in the Pine Room.
Peace.